Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Amazing night. TJ, this is long overdue. I don't know why we've waited so long. Actually, I think the last time you were supposed to be on, I ended up like hurting my back and you took over my stream. Is that right? Was that the last time you were going to be on the broadcast?
Yeah, in January.
Yeah. So I was supposed to have you on and then ended up being, you ended up taking my stream. And so thank you so much for that. I'm excited for tonight. I just have been in prayer, anticipating. I was praying about this last night. And guys, I want to start even before I do any announcements, even before I say the episode number, which I don't even know the episode number. Somebody type it in the chat. I really want to say this. I believe tonight something supernatural is going to happen. I believe tonight is not just going to be giving you a bunch of verses, which we're going to, not just scripture, not just teaching, but there's going to be a demonstration of the power and the presence and the anointing of God. As we talk, we are believing for the Holy Spirit to have his way. I'm believing for people to hear God as we teach. I'm believing for people to hear God, and we might even just break out in some tongues, break out in some prayer, but our heart is not just teaching, teaching, teaching. Our heart is, Lord, do it in them. God, do the work. Holy Spirit, have your way. So we're just praying tonight, guys. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do. Even us, like we didn't even have like an outline. Usually I'll send our guests kind of like an outline. It's like, hey, we're not going to do an outline. Let's just flow. Let's talk about it. Let's go through some ways God speaks. Let's talk about some hindrances to the voice of God. Maybe share some testimony. So I know I'm kind of jumping in, but I just feel fired up to be on with TJ. Every time me and him get together, I don't know. I feel a special fire. I just feel the anointing whenever TJ's on here. And so I'm believing the Lord is going to speak to someone tonight. If you've been waiting for confirmation, if you've been waiting for the Lord to speak a word to you, even without us just saying it, get ready for God himself to speak to you. Maybe I know he'll speak through us, but I'm talking about encounters with God. I mean, you might even halfway through, the broadcast might have to go off because God just starts speaking to you and you get into prayer. So that's what we're believing for, guys. Episode 100 and what is it, guys? Type it in the chat. 72 of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. Now, TJ, I was looking back. You were on episode, I don't even remember. I think you were on like episode 2 or 3, maybe 5. You were on in 2020. We've been doing this together. I think you're the most guest I've had on. You or Jenny Weaver, maybe you guys are tied for the most episodes on. And every time you're on, bro, it's powerful. The chat loves you. My following loves you, my community. So thank you so much for being on tonight. I'm honored to have you on. It's going to be an awesome, awesome night. Really quick before I intro, I guess I already did, but really quick, April 21st, I'll be at Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. You don't want to miss that. It's the only announcement I'm going to give. And I'll be live Thursday at noon. So don't miss out on that. Okay. So my good buddy TJ is here. We're going to talk about hearing the voice of God. And I'm praying tonight that God would give you ears to hear his voice. I am praying, Lord, give me ears so I can hear your voice. TJ, I don't want to miss the voice of God. I don't want to miss a word God is speaking. And it's possible the Holy Spirit has been speaking to people tonight and we've missed what God is saying. We've ignored the voice of God. We've disobeyed the voice of God. So tonight, such a crucial topic. It feels like a very, for most people, mysterious topic. Feels like a very confusing topic for most people. So hopefully tonight, we can simplify it a little bit because it's actually not mysterious as you guys might think, and it's actually not complicated as you guys might think. And so hopefully tonight, we bring some clarity and some simplicity to hearing the voice of God. What are your thoughts on some of this, TJ?
Yeah, I think it's important to hear God speak just because it gives us an extreme advantage in life.
Come on.
That's one of the great advantages we have as believers, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, is we have access to the voice of God. What a wonderful trick up our sleeves that we have. What a wonderful advantage. What a wonderful thing to be able to partake of. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, they that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It's part of your birthright in redemption to have access to God's leading. God wants to lead you as his child. I have a son. You have 4 kids, Isaiah, and you know how it is. Like, as your kids are growing up, you want to be their leader because you're their father. You want them to come to you for advice. You want them to come to you for counsel. You want them to come to you when they have a question. You want them to come to you when they're at a gridlock or a fork in the road. Well, God put that in us as parents because it's the very sentiment that he has for us. He wants to lead us. The Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I want you to write that in the comment section. God's leading is my birthright. God's leading is my birthright. The Bible says in John chapter 10 that my sheep, Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow.
Come on.
And if you read Psalm 23, which would be the Old Testament equivalent to John 10, when Jesus is talking about himself being the good shepherd, in Psalm 23, the verse starts by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. There's a way to live in life where you're not in lack, where you're not confused, where you're not distressed, where you're not running around like a chicken without its head, where you're not living life by trial and error, but there's a knowing in your spirit that you're following the leading of God's voice. And because of it, I know my tomorrow's gonna be all right, because God will never lead you backwards. God will never lead you in circles. God will always lead you upward and forward. The path of the just shines brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. The Bible says that as we behold him and his voice, as in a mirror, we are transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And I think if you're really going to have a desire to seek to hear God speak and to get his counsel, you have to first and foremost resolve in your spirit tonight that I trust God's heart and intentions for my life. I trust that he has the best way for me. I trust that he's not some sadistic, twisted, weirdo God that has some up and down and all around trajectory for my life, but he has a clean path laid out for me that if I follow it, it will lead me by still waters, like the Bible says, and he'll make me to lie down in green pastures. Be convinced that God loves you tonight enough to lead you and guide you and direct you. The Bible says the Lord your God teaches you to profit, and he'll lead you in the way that you should go. You have to be convinced of the love of God, because perfect love casts out all fear. People are afraid today more than ever, Isaiah. People are afraid because there's uncertainty in our world. There's all kinds of trouble and tribulation, which Jesus prophesied would happen. But remember in John 16:33, the scripture says in this world, you'll have trial and tribulation, but God gives us almost like not a way out of the trial and tribulation, but he gives us a way to navigate through it all. He says, take heart, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And if you'll allow me to be your master and your leader, and you'll follow my guidance, I'm telling you, I'll lead you in a way that you didn't know existed before.
That's so good. And I want to also tell everybody watching this, the voice of God only comes by the grace of God. There are many of you in the chat right now that don't think you deserve to hear the voice of God. Isaiah, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not anointed enough. And I feel this in my spirit tonight, TJ. There's people that think they're not anointed, called, gifted, or attractive enough, or you know, have the talents to hear God's voice, as if God himself is disinterested in you, as if God doesn't have a plan for you. I want to let every single person watching this know that the voice of God is not because of what you've done, it's because of what Christ has done. The Bible says that you were at war with God, that you were separated with God, that there was a wall, a chasm between you and God. But because of the shed blood of Jesus, the Bible says that now you are at peace with God. Because of what Christ did, he's reconciled you back to God. Guys, you could not hear the voice of God before Christ. Before what Jesus did on the cross, how could a sinner like you be reconciled back to a holy and righteous God that can't look upon sin? But you got to realize, in the same way, TJ, the blood of Jesus comes by grace. In the same way, forgiveness of sin comes by grace. In the same way, deliverance, miracles, spiritual gifts, they come by grace, meaning I can't earn it. The voice of God comes by grace. The Lord has a desire to speak to you regardless of what you've done, regardless of who you've done, regardless of where you've done it. The voice of God is coming and wants to speak to you and wants to direct, as TJ said, direct your life. And so, God, I believe that you desire to speak to me. Here's the problem. A lot of you have been taught that it's abnormal to hear the voice of God. So you're not even expecting to hear God. You've been taught that you're not, it's not supposed to be normal to hear God. And sadly, I have to say, from a lukewarm pastor that doesn't hear God and has now told you, oh, I don't hear God, so it's normal for you not to hear God. And I want to come against that demonic lie that a pastor has taught you, that it's normal to not hear the voice of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a believer, if you are a sheep, it is normal to hear the voice of God. It is normal to hear the shepherd. How could we live our life? How could we walk out our destiny? How do we know where to go, what to do, who to marry, how to govern our life and how to live without hearing the directing voice of God? TJ, let's go basic here. How can you have a relationship with somebody when you don't hear their voice? How could you have a, and guys, we're going to show you tonight, when we're talking about the voice of God, we are not just talking about an audible voice or a still small voice, which God can do both of those. We are talking about the multiple ways God speaks in Scripture. We are talking about the multifaceted aspect and nature of God, that God can speak through music, God can speak through preachers, God can speak through the Word, God can speak through nature. Do you guys know, I shared this last night, TJ, nature declares the glory of God. Nature praises and nature preaches. The Bible says in the book of Romans, nobody has an excuse. Why does no one have an excuse to not believe in God? This is what the Bible says. Because creation testifies to the reality of God. So literally, we give testimonies at church. Do you guys know trees give testimony? Do you guys know planets give testimony? I believe last night, the solar eclipse was a glorious thing. It was a beautiful thing. It was creation testifying God is real. I saw the solar eclipse as the Lord saying, I'm real, I'm good, I'm powerful, look at what I can do. So these things testify and preach God is alive, God is real. So let me ask you guys this. If God can speak through trees, if God can speak through creation, if God can speak through, why can't God speak to me? Why can't God speak through me? Why can't God use me? Doesn't 2 Corinthians chapter 5 say you're his ambassador? And then it says, as if God himself was speaking through you. So here's one thing I want to add, and man, we have so much to cover. TJ, I want to hear the voice of God so I can speak the voice of God. Somebody type in the chat, I want to speak the voice of God. Do you understand all can prophesy, and prophecy is speaking words from God? So it's essential tonight, I want to really open up your mind. I'm not just hearing God for me. TJ, that's not the only reason. It's not just so I know what to do with my life, but I want to speak for God. I want to speak the voice of God. I want God to use my mouth as a trumpet, my tongue as a sword. I want to declare the works of God. I want to speak boldly. I want the power of God to be released through my mouth. So how could I speak for God if I don't hear from God? So it's bigger than just you tonight. Don't come in here thinking, I need to hear God about my job, my wife. Great, and you will, and God will. But I also, TJ, want to hear God so I can speak his word, so that my unsaved family can hear God. Your unsafe family, they do not want to watch my videos. They're like, his veins pop out, he's all sweaty, he's weird. So how are they going to hear God if they're not going to hear it through a preacher like me or a preacher like TJ? You're going to speak forth the word of God to them. And how are you going to speak? Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. So I only want to preach and say what I hear the Lord saying, what I hear Jesus speaking to me. And so the Holy Spirit wants to speak. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. And there are many things that we're going to talk about that are hindering the voice of God. Let me say this last thing and I'll toss it over you. We can go in any direction. I believe this, that God desires to speak to every single person. That's right. I believe right now, and we don't have time tonight, but we could even show you a bunch of scriptures where God speaks to unbelievers as well, where God spoke to wicked unbelievers in dreams and visions. So, okay, if God can speak to wicked unbelievers, God wants to speak to you if you're a Christian tonight. And I believe every single one of you not only can hear God, but I believe actually God has been speaking to you. And if you haven't heard his voice, oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost. The issue is not God. The issue is not God. If you're not hearing God, I'm not trying to condemn you because this is a hopeful message tonight. It's a message of grace. But we can't blame God. It could be because I don't have ears to hear. What do we see over and over in Scripture, TJ? Those that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So if we look at the church, God says, I'm not the problem. I am speaking, and you need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. So God, I need those ears. I need my ears to be up like antennas in the Spirit to pick up the sound wave. Guys, do you know right now, there are radio waves going on above your head. Literally right now, above your house, there are radio waves in the air. And now, can you hear those? Of course not. But if you have the right antenna, you can put your antennas up, which this is old school here. Some young people are like, what's an antenna? You can put your antennas up and pick up what's already being spoken in the air. In the same way, God is speaking. His voice is declaring and going forth. I got to tune into the right station. I got to remove the distractions of TikTok and social media. How are you going to hear God when Netflix has been talking to you all week? How are you going to hear God when hours and hours of TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and right wing and left wing and this wing? So we really need tonight. Thank you, Lord, that tonight people are going to tune in. God, I want to tune into the right station. I've been on the wrong station. I've been listening to the wrong preachers. If you're listening to those preachers that tell you God doesn't speak, miracles aren't for today, deliverance isn't for today, ladies and gentlemen, you are on the wrong station. You are listening to people talk you out of the voice of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, that he's breaking out his voice. Man, I feel fired up, bro. I feel fired up right now.
I feel like a fire shut up in my bones. But you know, you're absolutely right. Hebrews 1 says, God, who in various ways at various times spoke to us through his servants, the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his son. But notice the first part of that verse in Hebrews 1:1, God at various times and in various ways. So that shows you God ain't just going to speak once. Some people are holding on to a word from God they heard in 1974, and that's the last time they heard God speak. You should hear God speak on a regular basis, just like you hear. You talked about relationships and close relationships. You can't have a close relationship with someone without having exposure to their voice. And intimacy has everything to do with expression of oneself to another. And God wants intimacy with you. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he is intimately acquainted with all of your ways, but the important thing for us is that we get intimately acquainted with all of his ways. And if you study all the people in scripture that were mightily used of God, you can trace back their ministry to an encounter. You can trace back their works to an encounter. You know, Moses heard the voice of God coming out of the fire in the bush. He heard the voice of God coming out of the fire. And it was that one exposure to the voice of God that literally carried him through 80 years of ministry. I mean, that's huge. He was 40 years old when he left, sorry, not 80 years, 40 years of ministry. He was 40 years old when he went to Midian. He had the encounter at 80 years old at the burning bush. And for 40 years, Moses stood fast in his assignment because he had the stronghold of the voice of God that rang deep in his spirit from that one encounter. Look at Isaiah, Isaiah 6. The Bible says, in the year Uzziah died, I heard the Lord speaking. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple, but then he heard the voice of the Lord. Who will go for us? Whom shall we send? You know, there's something about hearing God's voice where there is literally a transfer of the burden of God into your heart. There's a transfer of the burden that God has for a generation into your heart. There's something that happens when you hear God speak where it's not just this audible reception of information, but there's an impartation of God's heart concerning a work that he needs done on the earth. There's an impartation of a burden. And, wow. You know, when you were born again, going back to, hearing God's voice being your birthright, if you study the Levitical priesthood, there's two things that were done to them before they entered into the priesthood. One is that they would take blood and they would put it on the priest's ear, on the priest's thumb, and on the priest's big toe. And that signified their ear, their thumb, which represents their actions, their ear represents their ability to hear from God, and their toe represents their ability to walk with God. But each one had the blood applied to it to signify that there's a separation, a consecration, that those things were now made holy. That when you get born again, you know, one of the scriptures I love in Romans chapter 6, it says that we were dead in our sin and trespasses, but the scripture says the members of our body that we used to use as instruments or weapons for sin We now present alive to God, and we use these same weapons, these same members of our body as instruments or weapons to God for righteousness. What does that mean? These ears used to be used to hear all kinds of raunchy, dirty things, but now they're fine-tuned to hear God's Spirit speak. This hand used to be used to roll up joints, but now these hands are used to lay hands on the sick and destroy sickness off people's lives. These feet used to take me to all kinds of wicked places, bars and clubs, but now these feet are shod with the gospel of peace, and they take me all around the world, and Isaiah, all around the world, to preach the gospel of salvation to people. Well, that's what they did in the Levitical priesthood. They would take the blood to consecrate the usage of the ear, the thumb, and the foot, but then it didn't stop there. After the blood was applied, they got the oil out, and the oil was applied to the ear, to the thumb, and to the big toe, and that signified being empowered. The oil represents the Holy Spirit's empowerment. The ear now is empowered to hear God speak. Hallelujah. And that's where, you know, you talked about finally tuning your antennas to pick up heavenly transmissions, because God's always transmitting something. God's always speaking something. Do you know that the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was brooding over the surface of the deep, desiring eagerly to bring something to pass on the earth? And it was God's voice that activated that thing, that activated creation. Do you know that the Spirit of God is brooding over some of you right now and speaking things and desiring to communicate things? But sometimes, though we have this treasure in this earthen vessel, it's the earthen vessel, the flesh, that obstructs our ability to hear God clearly. That's why fasting and prayer is so important, because fasting and prayer literally breaks down the flesh to a minimum and heightens your spirit's sensitivity to God's voice to a maximum so that you can hear him clearly. And there's all kinds of examples in the New Testament, especially of the church fasting and praying and then the Holy Spirit speaking. Primarily, you see in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says that while they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost spoke, saying, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work unto which I have called." How many people are watching right now, Isaiah, that have a call to ministry, that have an assignment that was given to them before they were even formed in their mother's womb, but they've not awakened to that calling and to the desire, the heavenly vision for their life, simply because there's been a disconnect. Your Wi-Fi signal's on one bar and barely hanging on. I believe that this broadcast is going to supernaturally bring that one bar Wi-Fi signal to five bars, and you're going to hear from today God speak clearly. Isaiah 30 verse 21, the Bible says this: "Thou shalt hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye therein." I pray if God does one thing tonight, he deafens your ear to the voice of the devil to the voice of the opinions of men and to the voice of alternative opinions and the wisdom of this world. And he opens up your ears to hear the encouraging voice of the Spirit of God that's eager to and desiring to lead you and guide you. Hallelujah.
Come on, you are on fire today, bro. Yeah, I want to talk about, before we go into ways God speaks, I want to say, how do we position ourselves in a place to actually hear the voice of God? There are prerequisites to getting my life in position to hearing the voice of God. And let me give you guys a prerequisite. And again, we don't have to do like bullet point outline here. One of the conditions that I think we're not meeting is waiting on the Lord. I think one of the main reasons why those of you watching don't hear from God is that you're not willing to spend chronological time waiting on the Lord for him to speak to you. We are living right now, TJ, you know this, in a fast food, Instagram, DoorDash, microwave generation where we want DoorDash preachers. We don't want to go out and get the word. We don't want to spend the time and energy. We want somebody to bring us the word. We want someone to bring us the meal. We're living in this Instagram, TikTok, fast generation. Mm-hmm. But guys, I want you to know this. This will change your life. God is jealous for your time. Like, how much time are you giving God? Are you giving God actual time? There's no shortcuts. There's no fast way about it. You must spend time in the presence of God if you want to hear the voice of God. You must spend time getting to know God if you want to hear the voice of God. If you're not prepared to give the Lord your time, don't expect him to talk to you. I really believe it. And the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is grieved when we neglect the Holy Spirit. when we ignore the Holy Spirit. I really believe, TJ, there's a lot of people that don't hear God because God knows before he even speaks, you're not going to obey what he's going to say. Why would God keep telling you to do something he knows and you know that you're not going to do? God, if you speak to me, I'll do it. God says, I spoke to you like 30 times through that preacher and you still haven't done it. God, if you tell me to give this up, I'll give it up. He's like, dude, I literally spoke through TJ's broadcast a month in a row telling you to give up the compromise, the complacency, the idleness, the alcohol, the drugs, the partying, the porn. You're like, Lord, if you speak it, and God says, I've been speaking it. I'm speaking through a preacher. That is why Paul said, I thank God that when I came to you, told the church at Thessalonica, I thank God when I came to you, you took it as the very words of God. And then Paul follows by saying, in fact, it was the very words of God. Guys, we have to stop saying, God, if you'll speak to me, I'll do this, when God has been speaking and we are ignoring God. Do not go to God in prayer and say, God, you got 15 minutes. Let me see what you got. We have to wrestle, guys. We have to learn to wrestle God and say, however long it takes. God, you are not a TikTok video. You are not an Instagram reel. You are not a YouTube short. You are not a fast food drive-thru. Some of you, when God doesn't speak to you in 5 minutes, you swipe up on God. I'm just going to swipe up and go to the next thing. But the Bible teaches, TJ, those that wait on the Lord, those that wait on God, Lord, I got to wait on you. It might take an hour. It might take 20 minutes. It might take 5 minutes, but we need to wait on the Lord until he begins to break into our life. Guys, I want to tell you this. If you can watch a boring 2-hour movie about superheroes wearing tight clothes, going around, turning invisible, shooting laser beams out of their eyes, you can wait on the Lord. If you can spend 45 minutes, y'all know how long a Chick-fil-A drive-thru is? I mean, where I live, TJ, people literally out in California, they wait on the freeway to get through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. You're going to wait for an hour for a Chick-fil-A, what do they even sell? Chicken sandwich? I don't even know. I burned myself out on Chick-fil-A. You're going to wait an hour for a chicken sandwich, but then to hear God speak, you only give God 5 minutes? How are you going to give the Starbucks drive-thru and the Chick-fil-A drive-thru more time than you do God's voice? So I got to learn, and I wish we could get on here, TJ, and just be like, all you have to do is these four things, mix them up. But no, these principles, they cannot be shortcutted. They cannot be, oh, I'm just going to get a teaching. You actually have to spend time. And then you have to ask yourself this: is he not worthy of my time? Is he not worthy of me spending an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours? And really reconcile this. When did everything else in my life become more important than God? Why is it, TJ, I give everything else, and I've said this a bunch of times, for maybe you haven't heard it because there's new people in here, I give everything else the best of me and God gets the rest of me. And I know how that is, because when I get into hobbies, when I get into anything, I go hard, I'm all in. I have to literally not make anything in my life an idol because I just want to go all in with anything I do. So I have to be very careful what I get into because I just don't know how to go calm and be partial. So I have to realize, like, when did this become more important than you, Lord? When did I start spending more time on this than I am spending on you? We really need to get a fresh perspective on waiting on the Lord, getting rid of the distractions, getting rid of the compromise. The Bible says that our sin separates us from God, and we no longer hear his voice because our sin has cut us off from him. Now, I know the blood of Jesus removes that sin, but some of you think because of the blood of Jesus, you can continue sinning. And the Bible says, should I keep sinning now that I've been forgiven? Of course not. How could you be dead in sin, but keep living in it? So I believe that also this compromise, TJ, in our life that we've normalized, that pastors have really normalized, is another separating. What would you say if somebody said, how do I position myself to hear the voice of God? What is stopping me? Because there's 1,500 people live right now, and there's a lot of people going, TJ, what is stopping me from hearing the voice of God? Can you think of something that you'd say, man, this might be something stopping you, or this is what you need to do to get in position to hear God's voice?
I would say not getting into this book is a huge reason why people fail to hear the voice of God. Because although God does speak audibly, and God does speak in a still small voice, primarily, that's not the way he speaks.
That's right.
Primarily, the way he speaks is through his word. Because remember, I just quoted it. At various times in various ways, spoke to us by the prophets, that's Malachi, Isaiah, Jeremiah, And in these last days, has spoken to us by his Son. And we know from John 1 that the Son is the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. So God speaks to us through his Son, and God speaks to us through his Word. Through his Word. And I think that, and I love what you said, how can God speak further, more, if you haven't even signed up to the basic instructions that he already gave you? Some people are asking God for more revelation when they haven't even received the basic revelation of holiness and cleanness and righteousness and no compromise. Like you said, the unrighteous, the righteous who are uncompromisingly righteous, they shall inherit the land. They shall taste and see that the Lord is good. All of that is forfeited if the basic commands of scriptures are neglected. The Bible talks about in Hebrews, they have so neglected such a great salvation that's been given to us. And when you put this book behind you, even in Psalm 50, it says, my people have put my word behind them, and they have cast down my word as lightly esteemed. And because of it, God said, what obligation do I have to bless you anymore? What obligation do I have to hold up your life? What obligation do I have to invest furthermore into you? If you have cast my words behind you, you lightly esteem God. And the Bible says, those who lightly esteem me, I will lightly esteem them. But those who draw near to me, I will draw near to them. And the basic way that you draw near to God to hear his voice is by drawing near to his word. And if you study Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, now if you'll diligently hearken to the word of the Lord your God, to diligently keep his commandments and do everything that he's taught you to do, then it shall come to pass that all these blessings will come on you and overtake you as you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I have a lot of people that I know when they're asking me, how can I hear God's voice? A lot of times I need to make this like warning almost, because a lot of times people are seeking a voice. People are just opening themselves up to seek a voice. They want to hear something, but I caution against that. I caution against that because though we should take times and you know, the Bible talks about waiting on the Lord to hear his voice. If you don't know this book, the thief, the devil, who's the prince of darkness, will greatly deceive people, and he'll be the one speaking, and they'll be taking it in as if it was divine and from heaven itself. But because you don't have the belt of truth, you fall for anything. The Bible is not just the truth, it's a lie detector. And it's important to have this word first and foremost as the foundation, because anything that I hear in my mind, anything that I hear audibly, if it violates what God's already spoken in his word, then it's not God speaking. And I think it's important to address this because, you know, one of the questions I get the most is, well, how can I discern between God's voice, the devil's voice, and my own thoughts? How can I discern between the three? Because if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to get mixed up in those three things. And if you get mixed up, you might be convinced that you're hearing from God. In actual fact, it's a lying devil. It's an angel of darkness disguising itself as an angel of light. And you're thoroughly convinced that it's God speaking. That's why I'm telling you, the foundation, Jesus himself said, whoever hears my word and builds their life on the rock of my word, they're going to never fall. Though the rain falls, though the winds blow, though the waves beat against the house, they're not going to fall for lies. They're not going to fall for deceptive tricks. They're not going to fall for the cunning works of the devil. You know, if you study Ephesians 4, it says that the ministry, the workers of ministry, the office of ministry is for the edification of the saints. Preaching is to edify the saints. It's to equip people for the work of ministry. And then it says, so that we no longer are tossed to and fro every wind of doctrine, every teaching that's out there, everything that comes through our ear gates. You know, people come to me, they're saying, I believe God can heal me, but I'm just waiting to hear if it's his will to heal me specifically. If you just opened up this book, you wouldn't have to waste your time waiting to hear whether God desires to heal you specifically. You can already find out from Exodus 15, 26, that if you'll diligently follow the Lord your God, he'll take sickness out of your midst. He'll not allow the diseases that came upon the Egyptians to come upon you. For he said, I am the Lord your healer. If you'd get into this book, you wouldn't have to get some specific revelation whether it was God's will to save you. You can find out from John 3:16, God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you just read Isaiah 3:10, you wouldn't have to wonder whether what God's will was for you. You can read that scripture and realize that God said already, say unto the righteous, all will be well with you. And my thoughts towards you are for good and for a future and a hope. If you'd read Philippians 4:19, you wouldn't have to wonder or wait to hear a voice for a specific revelation that God wants to provide for you. You can already find out that he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Get the general revelation first, and then let's move on to get specific revelation and instructions from his voice.
That's so good, TJ. And I would say too, a lot of times people want to hear from God and God's like, you're doing exactly what I want you to do. I've had times where I'm like, Lord, speak to me. And the Lord's like, what do you want me to say? You're in the right path. You're on the right track. You're in your word. You're preaching your scripture. We don't want to, like, how do I say this? We don't want to over-exaggerate the voice of God. And every minute we need to hear God. Every minute. Because a lot of us, at least for me in my early days, I actually wanted to hear God. Not because I wanted to hear God, because I dealt with unbelief. And so I was like, I need to hear God's voice so I can believe that God is speaking. So I can believe that God is real. And God's like, Isaiah, you want me to speak because of your unbelief. That's the only reason why you want me to speak, is to validate you don't truly believe in me. And if I speak to you, it's going to confirm that I'm real. But have I not already called you? Have I not already chosen you? Are you not already doing what I want you to do? So we have to at some time go, okay, Lord, maybe I want to hear your voice, not because I want you to guide me, but because I'm living in unbelief. So Lord, help my unbelief. I don't want to live in unbelief. I want you to guide me. I want you to govern me. And you've given me this incredible word. And if I haven't, as TJ just said, picked up the Bible in weeks, the only sermons I get is on YouTube or on Sunday morning, I don't know that I'm really that desperate to hear God. I love the saying that if you want to hear the voice of God, read the Bible out loud. And it's a cool saying, but it is true that God speaks through his word. And also, the word of God gives us the capacity to hear the voice of God. Because I've come to find, TJ, maybe this is how it works with you as well. God will speak to me through scripture, and God will speak to me scriptures. He'll give me scriptures that I know to speak to me. But if I didn't know those scriptures, it wouldn't have given him the capacity to speak that revelation to me. So the more scripture I know, the more I devour the scroll, the more I devour the scripture, it gives me a bigger capacity to receive the voice of God, to receive the word, studying to show myself approved. Now, there are other moments where God will speak radically. Some of you know, and this is not normal for this to happen, but it happened to me in Bible college. The Lord audibly spoke to me who my wife was going to be. And that's not normal for that to happen, but there are these, I don't want to say rare, because some people hear God more than others. So I don't want to say rare, because some people are like, well, it's not rare for me. And if it's not rare for you, praise to God. But in my life, there are rare moments where the Lord will speak so clear that it feels audible. The Lord will speak so clear, it's definitive. This is the voice of God. For me, TJ, that's rare though. It's not every day. It's not all the time that I hear definitive, what I feel to be as an audible voice. Usually, so you said God speaks through the Bible. Another one I want to add on is usually God speaks through a still, small voice. This is how I believe the most common way, outside of a course like scripture and prayer and preachers, that God will speak to people. And this is how I hear God the most. I know me and TJ yell, but guys, usually God doesn't yell. There are three main voices we can hear from. That is what TJ touched on. It's the human spirit, our own spirit, the Holy Spirit, and then a demonic spirit. And the way you can tell whether it's your human spirit or the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit would usually whisper you things you would otherwise not think of, or you would otherwise not want to necessarily do. So maybe, let me just give you an example. Maybe you're at a grocery store and the Holy Spirit says, go pray for that person. And in your own flesh, TJ, you don't want to go pray for that person. In your own flesh, you don't want to go witness. So if I'm getting a voice, a small voice in my head that I think is me, sounds like my voice, because usually that's how God is when he speaks to us in our mind. I know, wait a minute, hold on. This isn't Isaiah. Isaiah is tired. Isaiah does not want to go pray for that person. Isaiah does not want to go witness that person. This must be God. And what I've found is the more you obey the small voice, the more you can recognize and discern the small voice of God. I share a story of my early days of salvation when I was learning and I was tuning my ears to the voice of God. And it is a process, tuning your ears to the voice of God. And I was in and out. I didn't really have much money. I was just saved. I was working at Starbucks making like $200, $300 every few weeks. Like I was making $675 an hour, barely any money. And there was a guy sitting there kind of like this with his head down, arms crossed. And he had a bunch of change on the table. And I heard a voice, a small voice, say, go across the street, go to the ATM, and give that guy $100. Now, here's how I know it's God. And I'm just giving you guys this as an example. I know it's God because Isaiah does not want to give that guy $100. It took me like a week to earn $100. I barely had any money, guys. If I'm making $7, $6.75 an hour, that's a lot of hours to make $100 after taxes in California. Come on, somebody. So I was like, okay, you know what? This must be God because I don't want to do it. So I go to the ATM, cross the street, walk up to the guy, I'm at In-N-Out Burger. And I say, hey, this is going to sound crazy. I was barely saved a few months. I said, hey, bro, this is going to sound crazy, but God, I mean, it does sound crazy. Imagine going to a random person. God just told me. I said, I believe God told me to give you this $100. He breaks down crying. He says, I have a Volkswagen out in the parking lot. My two daughters, my wife is out there hungry. We have no gas. He said, this is what he said. He said, when I pulled up to this In-N-Out, as I was walking through the door, I said, God, if you are real, I want you to have someone walk up to me and give me $100 for gas and food for my family. He said, and then as I'm telling God that I'm sitting here, you randomly come up and say, God, who does that? God told you to give me $100. Guys, my point in this is there is somebody's miracle on the other side of you saying yes to the voice of God. And not only that, these are ways that God speaks in this still small voice, because again, I knew it wasn't me. I knew that it wasn't what I wanted to say. So that's the whisper. Now, why do we struggle to hear the whisper? I would say two reasons. Sin separates us from God. And how many of you know if I whisper, which I don't whisper often because I'm always shouting and screaming. If I whisper and you're far away, you're not going to hear the whisper. So what does sin do in our life? Separates us. It literally creates distance between us and God. And God is whispering to us because that's how he talks to believers. Usually the unbelievers he yells to. That's why the night I got saved, I heard the audible voice because I wasn't saved. Now I hear the small voice because the Holy Spirit's in me. How many of you know the Holy Spirit's in you? He doesn't need to yell. Now, before the Holy Ghost was in me, January 12, 2011, I heard the shout of God, the audible voice of God. Now that the Holy Spirit's in me, he doesn't need to shout. But because of sin, we actually create distance between us and God. So we have trouble hearing his whisper. So that's one thing. The second thing is we have trouble hearing the whisper is social media, distractions, noise, opinions, other preachers, other teachers. I honestly, personally, am very careful on who I listen to preach, TJ. I don't want to listen to people that are going to talk me out of miracles, talk me out of faith. We have too many voices. Some of you, and I know this is going to make some of you mad. If I was you, I would get 2 to 3 max of your favorite preachers, your favorite teachers, and only listen to them. I would not be listening to 30 different teachers. I would not be listening to 35 different denominational preachers. And, I just take this from them. I take this from them. You got to be careful, because what happens is they'll actually become a distraction to the voice of God. So we have to remember that whisper comes. Now, Moses was in the backside of the desert after 40 years of being exiled, and God spoke to him. God spoke through that burning bush. God will often speak when we're in isolation, but also 1 Kings 19:11, the Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then it says this, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle, and I know again, I'm yelling, but this is not how God usually speaks, a gentle whisper. Verse 13 of 1 Kings 19, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and stood on the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So guys, God was saying, I wasn't in the earthquake. I wasn't in the fire. I wasn't in the storm. I was in the Bible calls the gentle whisper. So it's not always going to be extravagant like some of us think. And I don't want tonight us to paint a false representation of the voice of God, making you think Even I sometimes worry about sharing my salvation story because I'm like, Lord, I don't want people to think because they don't have that crazy radical story, their story's not important. Guys, your story is just as important. Your story matters. Even if you didn't hear God audibly tell you that's going to be your wife, doesn't mean that's not the woman for you. Just sometimes God will speak in special ways. And I will say this thing. When I sit in church on Sunday, every Sunday, when the preacher gets up, I sit and go, I literally do this every service, every Sunday. All right, Lord, speak to me. And every time the preacher's preaching, I take his words as the voice of God. If I was you in the chat tonight listening to me and TJ, I would take it as this is God speaking directly to me. Isaiah's voice is the voice of God. TJ's voice is the voice of God. Because as his representatives, we're called to speak on behalf of God. Of course, if a preacher's saying something crazy, it's not God, but we're called to speak on behalf of God. Is there any other ways, TJ, or am I missing anything you can think of how God speaks to people, or if you want to even touch on the still small voice?
No, you're dead on when you talked about the still small voice, where God, when you're redeemed, the Bible says you're joined together with Christ and you've become one spirit with him. That's how close you are to Jesus. So people that say, I feel far from him, I feel, if you're living in sin deliberately, then yes, you feel far from him. That's true. You are far and you need to draw near to him and he'll very happily receive you back. But for people that are living clean and living holy and you're doing your best and you're striving to live a holy life, you don't go by your feelings. You don't go by whether you feel far from him or he feels, because then you're going to be a roller coaster Christian. One day yes. You're going to feel like he's right near you, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But then another day, because you didn't have the hair on the back of your neck stand up, that he's far from me. God's abandoned me. I'm panicking now. I don't know if he's still with me. And you're going to be a bipolar Christian, an up and down person. But if you understand what the word of God says, where the scripture says we've become one spirit with him, where the Bible says Christ is in us, the hope of glory, where the Bible says, don't you know Jesus Christ lives in you? 2 Corinthians 13:5, the scripture says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit of truth who dwells with you, he shall dwell in you, because Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, the helper, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you and he'll guide you into all truth. The Bible says Jesus and the Father, they said, when we come, we will make our home in you. Hallelujah. Greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. I mean, he's as close can be. Yeah, he's not just around you, he's in you. And here's the good news. Now that your spirit has been regenerated and joined to Christ, now in the world, because a lot of people use Jeremiah 17, I think it's verse 9, where the Bible says, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful and not to be trusted. I agree, 100%. But remember what Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 36, 26, that God was going to take out the heart of stone and he was going to give us a brand new heart. That's the regenerate heart. That's the born again heart. You don't have the old sinful heart anymore. You got a new nature in you. You have a righteous nature in you. You have the seed of righteousness producing the fruit of righteousness in you. I've got a new heart. It'd be a great thing to confess in the comment section. I've got a new heart in me. And though in Jeremiah's day, the heart was desperately wicked, deceitful, many people call it the conscience. And man's unredeemed conscience is extremely unreliable and it's prone to failure. People say, I have a gut feeling. Sure, I'm sure you do. But I'm telling you, outside of Christ, that gut feeling ain't to be trusted. But the moment you come to Christ and your spirits join with God, your conscience actually comes alive, but like in the right way. Paul says it this way, the Holy Spirit testifying to my conscience that this was the way to do it. The Holy Spirit was working with Paul's conscience, guiding him. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 27, the Bible says, the spirit of the man is the candlestick of the Lord, and he guides him in all the chambers of his heart. You know what that means? Your spirit man that now carries the fire of God, God uses it as a torch. The same way he guided by a pillar of fire in the Old Testament, he guides us by a pillar of fire, but the pillar of fire is in you now. And he leads you and guides you. Now, where do we see examples of this? In Acts chapter 27, Paul's about to get onto a boat and they're about to set sail. But the Bible says Paul interrupted the centurion who was the captain of the guard leading him to Rome. And he said, I perceive I perceive that this voyage is going to end in much loss, even of our lives and of the cargo and of the ship. But the Bible says that the centurion paid attention to the voice of the helmsman or the captain of the ship and ignored the voice of Paul. He went with the expert opinion. He went with the analyst. He went with the analyst's opinion. He went with the academic opinion. He went with the worldly wisdom opinion, and it got them in trouble. But notice, Paul didn't say an angel came to me and told me not to set sail. Paul didn't say I saw a vision last night. Paul didn't say there was a dream and I just saw the ship just deconstruct into the sea. He said, I perceive in my spirit, I perceive that we shouldn't go. So oftentimes you're going to get, now that you're born again and connected to Christ, you're going to get a check. Old timers used to call it a check in my spirit. I've just got a check in my spirit. Many times you see this in the book of Acts playing out in the life of Paul. Acts 18:5. The Bible says Paul was compelled by the Spirit to go somewhere. There was a compelling force. There was an urgency. There was, I got to go. It's like when you're at the supermarket at Walmart and the Lord yep. says, go and tell that person about me. There's this urgency. There's this the love of Christ compelling me to move and do something. I can't just stay. You know, Isaiah saying when the Lord spoke to you and said, go and get $100 from the ATM and bring it to that guy. There's this inability to put that to rest. I've got to do it. It's like getting on fire and rolling on the floor. I got to do it. There's no other way. Or else this feeling doesn't pass. You read in Acts 19:21, Paul purposed in his spirit to go somewhere. So the Holy Ghost put a purpose in his spirit. There was an excitement, an enthusiasm to do something. Some people are asking the Lord, Lord, I just pray that you would show me what I need to do. But then there's something that every time they think about it, a godly thing, they're excited to get it done. Maybe it's opening a business. Maybe, you know, when I say a godly thing, not everything godly is soul winning and going on the missions field and leaving America to go to Africa to preach the gospel full time. Sometimes the godly thing to do is to act on what Jesus is telling you to do specifically concerning your business. Open up a business. Maybe there's something that God's purposed for you to do on the earth that every time you think about it, there's an excitement. There's this enthusiasm. There's this energy. There's this desire to run. Remember what Habakkuk heard from the Lord. Write the vision down so that he that reads it may run with it. When you've got a genuine vision from the Lord purposed in your spirit, there is an energy to run with that thing. Don't ignore that. Acts 21:5, the Bible says, Acts 16:6, Paul was forbidden by the Spirit. He didn't hear from God. It was just there was something in his spirit that didn't allow him to go to Asia to preach. And going to Asia to preach was a good thing. But there was a check in his spirit every time he thought about going to Asia. And he felt this restraint on him. This almost like he was on a chain and he was being pulled back every time he thought about going to Asia. You know, there was a time in my life, and I'll pass it back to you, but there was a time in my life where I got an opportunity coming out of Bible college. I was starting out in evangelism, and I don't have a ministry family. I started out from rock bottom, just like you did, Isaiah. And we were at ground zero, and we didn't have, my wife, we just got married. We had no money in the bank. We were pretty much homeless. We lived in my parents' basement when we weren't on the road, but we couldn't afford a home. And so at the time, finances was, something that the enemy tried to use me to pull me off the specific path that God had laid out for me into something different. See, if God calls you and you get saved and the devil couldn't forbid that from happening, what he moves next to do is to get you off the specific will of God for your life, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. If he can't stop you from getting saved, at least he'll try and make your saved life a little bit more miserable than it ought to be. And so he tries to pull you out. Even if you go into ministry, you've answered the call to ministry, great. But then he's going to try and derail you into another ministry that God simply has not called you to do. Like if I go and open up a church right now, I might think it's a good idea, but God did not call me to pastor a church at the moment. And so it would ruin me. It would wreck me. I'd burn out very quickly. And so the moment I got saved, I get called to ministry. I go to Bible college. I'm out of Bible college. And what happens immediately? I have people that are in high rankings in a denomination in Canada offer me 3 jobs at churches that were successful, very successful. One in particular. that the pastor himself called me out and said, I want you to come and work for me as a youth pastor. But the Bible says, let every man remain in the same calling in which he was called. Wow. And so I knew what I was called to do. I was called to be an evangelist, preach gospel and do crusades and revive the church in church meetings. So I knew that wasn't my assignment. But at the time, he started to tell me all the benefits. I'm going to give you a full salary. I'm going to give you grocery cards, so you won't ever have to worry about that. I'm even going to offset your rent and your housing expenses. That's appealing. I'm living in my parents' basement when I'm not on the road, and we're barely getting by paying our phone bills at the time. That's very appealing. And in the natural, I'm telling you, I thought about it for a second, but in my spirit, there was a forbidding that God put on me. I literally saw in my spirit like a red light. Now, God didn't speak. There was no audible sensation or anything. But my inner man, there was an inner witness. God testified to my spirit, don't go there. Don't do that. Well, had I gone, that was the month of April. By the month of May, that church ended up having a crazy church split. Someone went rogue that was on staff, and the whole thing folded and came to nothing. I would have been in another city in Canada, unemployed, with my wife, not knowing what to do, coming back probably to Montreal, shamefaced, because I had missed the call of God. God said in Proverbs 4, if you'll listen to my sayings, you will walk and you'll not stumble. You will run and you'll not fall over or be caught up by snares. God knows how to get you to navigate the traps and the snares of the enemy and all the minefield of life to get you to where he needs you to be, unscathed, not even smelling like smoke, because God is faithful, who called you to bring it all to pass. Hallelujah.
So good, TJ. I love that you mentioned that, because I think a lot of times people don't realize that the voice of God will actually divert you from danger, divert you from delaying your calling. Some of you might still get there, but if you followed the voice of God, you would have got there faster. When I drive places, like taking my kids to school, it's 30 minutes away. I obviously know how to get there. I don't need GPS, but I turn on my GPS every single time because I know the GPS will take me in a route that's fastest, and there might be traffic, there might be an accident, there might be things that are going to divert me, so I use the GPS even though I know where I'm going. And for some of you, you don't call upon God because you go, I have life figured out, I know where I'm going. But the Lord says, if you'd call upon me, even though you know where you're going in life, even though you have it planned out, God will actually direct you in a path where there's not accidents, where there's not traffic, where you're not going to be delayed, where there's not road closures and destiny closures. Are you guys hearing me? The Lord will actually direct you so that you avoid those things. So don't think, just because I know how to get there, I don't need the voice of God, because the voice of God literally is GPS. It literally positions you where you need to be, how you need to be there. God will reroute you when you take a wrong turn. Some of you tonight, you've taken the wrong turn, and the Lord's voice is going to reroute you. Now, I want to give one more, and then we're going to go into prayer, unless you want to, anything else you want to close with. But I do want to pray for you guys for a few minutes tonight about hearing the voice of God, opening up your ears, because here's a really, really important one. Prayer, praying in the spirit, praying at all times, actually opens you up to hearing the voice of God. Prayer is a great way to cultivate the voice of God in your life. So you have to make prayer a habit throughout the day. If you can pray in the spirit, you need to make praying in the spirit a habit throughout the day. You need to treat prayer like oxygen. You don't forget to breathe, so don't forget to pray. That's why Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious about nothing, but instead in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. So God will speak in when you cultivate an atmosphere of prayer. When you get in your house, for example, call your cousins up, call your aunts and uncles up, call your friends up, say, hey, Thursday night, we're going to meet at my house, 20, 30 of us, for prayer. We have no agenda. We're literally going to have some snacks, some refreshments. We're going to turn the lights down, put some worship music on, and we're all just going to pray. I guarantee you that you will cultivate an atmosphere where God will start speaking. Watch what happens. You start laying hands on each other, and God begins to give words of knowledge. God begins to give out words of prophecy, words of healing. Deliverance breaks out. You will see the voice of God taking off in that living room as you begin to pray. TJ, how many times have you prayed for somebody, and as you're praying, literally God just starts speaking through your mouth, and you're going like, I don't even know what I'm praying right now. I don't even know what I'm saying. Because, for lack of a better term, God will hijack you while you're praying for somebody. God will literally hijack your mouth and start speaking through you. When you pray, You get out of the passenger seat and you invite God to drive. And so when you're laying hands on somebody, you start speaking, God starts speaking, and you cultivate these atmospheres of the voice of God. Prayer is a great way to cultivate the voice of God. In fact, let me think about this. It's safe to say 90%+ of the time I've heard God speak direction in my life, where God will say, go do this, start this, go there, start a podcast, build a studio, go here, do 90%+, just because I don't want to lie and say 100%. 90%+ was when I was praying. When I shared earlier how God audibly said, Alyssa's going to be your wife, I was in prayer when that happened. When God directed me to go to a different church, I was in prayer when God happened. When God told me to build this studio, I was in prayer when that happened. When God told me to go online in 2019, guess where I was? Type it in the chat. I was in prayer when God spoke that. I found, TJ, when I look back and think about it, so many moments where God spoke direction in my life, specifically direction in my life, it was in the place of prayer. So guys, please don't expect God to speak if you're not spending time. I go back to how I started, in the place of prayer. We know that the Father is in the secret place. If you want to experience and hear God, go where God is. Get in the place of prayer. Getting in prayer meetings, starting a prayer meeting is a great way to cultivate the voice of God. I'll give you the last one tonight, TJ, of hearing the voice of God, ways that God speaks. And then let's get into prayer. Let's start praying for these people here. The most important part is actually not the teaching, which is great. It's been amazing. The Holy Ghost has been flowing tonight. We can go 3 hours, but actually I want to activate you guys in prayer. And I also want to pray for those of you that don't have the Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want to pray for you to get tongues, to get that prayer language tonight. Yeah. So you can really open up that channel of you with God and hear God clearly.
Yeah. You know, I knew to marry my wife because I was in an anointed service once. Mm. And we were in intense worship. And the Lord spoke to me straight up. It wasn't an audible voice again. It was right to my spirit, man, that still small voice. And the Lord, as I was just scanning the crowd, because I would go and pray for people and stuff. It was our Bible college chapel. And she had just been visiting in. It was a Zion experience. They used to have like a campus experience, campus days. And so I just turned to my left and I saw her there. Now I never prayed for women at Bible college because I thought that was weird. I just prayed for men. So it wasn't like I was looking around scouting, like, all right, who am I going to ask out for coffee after? That wasn't it. I was literally
pray for him and then invite him on a date while I'm praying. I feel like the Lord is showing me a vision of me and you at coffee tomorrow. No, you weren't doing that.
No, go and pray for them. And then like, as yeah. I'm praying, what's your number?
Yeah. No, do not do that, y'all.
But I was just scanning the crowd to pray for whoever the Lord would highlight. And then the Lord highlighted her and the Lord spoke to me 3 things. That's a woman who knows how to pray.
Wow.
That's a woman who knows how to love, who loves me more than you do. And that's a woman that knows how to worship me and you're going to marry her. Wow. And I, at that time, didn't believe in God speaking to marry, you know, marry a specific person. I didn't believe in that. I actually mocked it a lot of times because at Bible college, they call it bridal college, ring by spring or your money back. I mean, it's like an infomercial, you know, it's part of like the way they bring people into Bible college. Yeah, listen, if you don't get an education, at least you might leave with a spouse, you know.
Go ahead.
So I used to make fun of that. Matter of fact, my friend Justice was sitting right next to me. And we would make fun of it together, which was wrong. I repented. But when I heard that from the Lord, I turned to my friend Justice and I nudged him. And I said, Justice, the Lord just spoke to me. I'm going to marry that lady. Now, wow. He laughed at me because he thought I was joking because of how many times we joked about it. But I said, Justice, I'm being serious. I'm going to marry her. And I did not pursue, like, not to sound like I'm a jerk. I just didn't make it happen. I let it happen organically. I did not pursue. I had talked to her after briefly, but that was it. There was no poaching or anything like that. And 2 years, no, that was in 2013. 2 years later, Justice is one of my groomsmen at my wedding, standing right next to me in the wedding ceremony as that lady, Carrie Malkanji, is walking down the aisle. And I got married to her, and I'm still married. And let me tell you something. It's important to hear from God as to who you're going to marry. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Because it'll make or break your ministry, yes. Your life, and your entire being. Who you marry is second on the level of importance of decisions of what you of decisions you need to make. Number one decision is to get saved and choose Jesus Christ for as Lord of your life, to get saved and give your life to Christ. But number two decision that's just like right under it, like 1.1, 1.2 would be like who you marry, because who you marry matters. I can tell you, Isaiah can testify. Yep. If he married wrong, he would be out of the ministry
1,000%
today. Guaranteed. He'd be out of the ministry. If I married wrong, I would not think of the type of woman he needs to have when he's on the road, especially in the first 8-9 years of your ministry on the road. 40 weeks a year. Think of the type of woman you need to have. Think of the type of woman I have to have where I'm on the road 2 weeks out of the month, constantly. They're very special people that God's tailor-made for us. And so it's important to ask the Lord who to marry. And God will show you. The Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord. Part of God's favor expressed to your life is showing you who to marry. And so that's an important thing to do. I'll tell you another testimony and we can close up. I was in 2021. Remember when we did that Orlando event?
Yes.
In Florida. We did an Orlando event together. And now during that time, as a Canadian, I could not go into the United States of America. And so it was during the whole thing and all that.
Is that because you didn't have the Fauci ouchie?
I didn't get the Fauci ouchie.
You didn't have the Fauci ouchie. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to
see. I would have got it, but I prefer to have both arms functional and the right side of my face.
Anyway. Go ahead.
I'm just kidding. But anyways, I didn't have access into the United States, but I felt in my spirit to accept the meeting, and I ended up booking a tour by faith, not knowing how the heck I was going to get into the States. And I'm in Saskatchewan. I've got to preach in 2 days. It was July 2021. I've got to get to Orlando in 2 days. I'm preaching. I'm finishing up a meeting in Saskatchewan. And I don't know how I'm getting to Orlando, Florida. I have no idea. I don't have a flight booked because I couldn't book a flight. So what did I do? I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. When you don't know what to do, pray in the language you don't know how to say. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. When you don't know what to pray, just pray in the language that you don't know how to say. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you'll pray in the Spirit, but then God can give you the interpretation to then pray in English, to pray in your understanding, to pray in your own language. So I was praying in the Spirit. And as I prayed in the Spirit, my hotel room in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, the Lord drops in my spirit a scripture from Acts, where Paul was in Damascus and locked in, a warrant out for his arrest, and he needed to get out, and a hole was made in the wall where he was let down through a basket. And the Lord said, I can make a hole in the border and get you through and get you where you need to be. So I began to pray that through. And then another scripture came to my spirit in Acts chapter 12, when Peter was awakened by the angel and he led Peter through the first and second guard post. And then the iron gate that led to the city opened of its own accord. And God led Peter out of jail to Mary's house where they were having a prayer meeting. And he was delivered from the hand of Herod that day. But it happened as the angel blinded the guard posts, the first and the second guard posts, and then the iron gate to the city opened, the border opened for Peter to cross through. And so I knew that. I'm not bright enough to know that. I'm not bright enough to think that. I knew that was the Holy Spirit, like you said before, using scriptures that I knew to stir up in my heart, to build up my most holy faith so that I can ask in faith, nothing doubting. For the Bible says, when you ask in faith, you'll receive from the Lord. And so I prayed those two scriptures through. I kid you not, a few hours later, I get a phone call from a guy at the church I was ministering at, who I wasn't talking about this. I wasn't airing my business. Nobody needed to know. And this guy calls me. He says, I own a plane. I have a jet that I own. I fly. I can't fly you in, but I have a friend that's in a certain place in Canada. If you'll fly there tomorrow, he'll fly you into the United States, no questions asked. I called the guy. I was on a plane into Montana the next day, and I got to the meeting that I preached with Isaiah, and we had a powerful meeting there.
Come on. A lot
of people saved, healed, and delivered. I'm telling you, when God wants to bring you somewhere, he'll not just show you the vision. He wants to give you specific direction so that you can walk in the steps that have already been ordered by the Lord to get to the high place God has you. And I see every one of you hearing specific instructions from God to attain and fulfill the heavenly vision that God has laid out for your life. In Jesus' name, the devil can try his best to swipe you out and take you out, but everything the devil's going to do, God's making it fail. You're going to make it. He that began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. He that started you out is going to finish you. He that began you is going to bring it to pass in Jesus' name.
Pray for them, TJ. You're on fire. Pray for them. Come on, let's just jump in. I'm
going to
stop it there. Touch him, Lord.
Man, I feel in my spirit already, people are hearing things from God. I feel like there's confirmation. I feel like there's things you've known to do, but the Lord is just burning that thing in your heart right now. It's just burning. It's so loud right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray for everyone that's watching live and on the replay. Even as your word says in Psalm 29, that the voice of the Lord is powerful and mightier than the waters. And the voice of the Lord, it kindles the coal of fire. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, even as those two men were on the road to Emmaus, and as Jesus spoke to them, their hearts burnt within them as he spoke to them along the way. I pray even now, specific things that you have set out for people watching to do. I ask you, Lord, that it would burn in their hearts afresh and anew. Even dreams and visions that they've put on the back burner that they're not quite attending to. Things that they thought that you've overlooked them in. Things that they thought that perhaps you've skipped them over because they neglected to do it for so long. I pray that you'd revive those things in their heart today. I pray that they'd experience a fresh fire from heaven in their hearts right now. In Jesus' name, I pray that every ear would be open and attentive and receptive, every heart obedient to the voice of the Lord, that none of the people watching would ever miss it, that none of the people watching would ever mistake your voice for any other voice, that they would be committed and consecrated to hearing from you. And as they hear from you, Father, that you'd give them a grace for obedience to the things that you call them to do in Jesus' name. Thank you that you're our shepherd, that you lead us, that you show us your path.
Yes.
Guide us in the way, that you lead us in truth. Father, I pray that you'd keep every person watching right now from error. For the Bible says there is a spirit of error and there is a spirit of truth. Keep people away from the spirit of error. Deafen their ears to the voice of the devil and heighten their spiritual sensitivity to the voice of God. Lord, even as your word says in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in the Greek, it literally means to be sensitive to God. I pray, Lord, that anything in anybody's heart that would block them from hearing God, offense, insecurity, fear for man, fear for the devil, any type of thing that would block them from sensitivity to the voice of God, I pray that you would create in them a clean heart, that you would renew in their spirits a loyal spirit so that they might hear you again. Lord, people that they used to hear you, they used to have a super sensitivity to your voice, but somewhere along the line, something happened, a divorce, a loss of a loved one, something knocked the wind out of their sails and they've let down their hands and their weak knees have become feeble. I pray that you'd give them a strength, give them a second wind, God. I pray that you would cause them to not grow weary in well-doing, but that you would empower them, Lord, to pick up the boxing mitts, get back in the ring, put in their mouthpiece and start to fight again and walk again and run again in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
Father, we pray, God, give us ears. I want you to lightly lay hands on your ears as an act of faith right now. And I want you to ask the Lord to give you ears that hear him. Father, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Shima robo sata mando bo kandiada mando bo sate. Kima robo. I pray our ears would be dripping in oil. God, let us hear you clear. I pray the muffled sound would go away. The ringing in the ears would go away spiritually. I pray the voice of the enemy would be silenced. Satan, shut your mouth in Jesus' name. You have no authority over me. You have no power over me. I pray that I would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. God, no longer will I follow the voice of the enemy. No longer will I follow the voice of the thief. No longer will I follow the voice of Babylon. But God, I will follow the voice of the shepherd. I pray, God, lead me, guide me, direct me. Give me ears, God. Give me ears, God. What is the Spirit saying to the church? God, give me ears to hear. I break spiritual deafness in Jesus' name. I break spiritual deafness in Jesus' name. I pray, Holy Spirit, if you could open deaf ears physically, Lord, can you not open deaf ears spiritually?
Yes.
God, I want to hear you. God, I want to know you. I want you guys to pray that right now. Say, God, I want to hear you. God, I want to know you. God, I desire to hear your voice. God, I desire to hear you speak through people, through your word, in prayer. Shima roboso. Lord, I pray right now, fill those with the Holy Spirit that have not been filled. Come on, the Bible says in Luke 11 that if you ask, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. If you ask, I want you to ask him right now. Ask him for the Holy Spirit. Don't pray in English. Wait for those rivers of living water to flow out of you. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Himba robo sandaraba. The book of Corinthians says in chapter 14, when you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking directly to God. No one understands you, but your spirit speaks mysteries. That you're speaking to God, that you're edified. You are edified. No one can understand you when you pray in the Spirit. Shimba robobo shakamara ramando bosa. Yamba robosamdi adamando borobosata. Kimba rababashu robobo shanti adamando bosa. Holy Ghost, I pray flow, 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 flow. Rivers of living water flow. Holy Ghost fire. I pray vivid dreams. God is saying right now, vivid dreams, vivid visions. Oh, we didn't have time to go into this, but God speaks through dreams and visions. God, I pray, speak in the midnight hour. God, I pray tonight, give them a vivid dream. Speak to them in dreams and visions, God, as your word declares. Basa robobo shamba robosate. Timba raba. Come on.
There are people. There's a great man of God who had a vision years ago, where Jesus appeared to him and he was trying to speak, but there was this little 2-foot demon that kept yakketing and speaking. And he said he couldn't, Jesus kept on speaking. His mouth was moving, but he couldn't hear anything because this little 2-foot demon was there speaking. And so this man of God kept saying, I can't hear you, Jesus. Stop speaking. Do something about this demon. Do something about this demon. And then finally, he got so irritated and he looked at the demon and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. And the moment he did, the demon left. And then he asked Jesus after, he said, why didn't you do anything about the demon? I couldn't hear you. And Jesus said, because I gave you the authority to cast out demons. I'm not the one casting out demons anymore. I'm in heaven. I said, in my name, you will cast out demons. And I really believe there are some people that are having demonic hindrance or demonic obstruction to hearing God's voice, because there's a yakety yak 2-foot little defeated devil that's been clouding your ability to hear the voice of God. It's like a ringing in the ear. It's like a static. It's an inability to hear God clearly, but it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with you not being a person of his word. There's just a demonic resistance against you. And I want to pray against that tonight.
Yes.
That whatever spirit would try to confuse you. That's what they are. They're spirits of confusion that would try to confuse you and mess you up. Try and cloud the voice of God so that you wouldn't hear him clearly, and as a result, make a mistake in any judgment that you need to make. Tonight, that foul, loud, defeated, ugly thing leaves your life, and you're going to hear clearly the instructions God has for you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every demon of confusion, over every yakety yak type of demon that's been messing up your ability to hear clearly from God. In Jesus' name, that thing must go. In Jesus' name, I command it to lose its influence over your life and your spiritual life. In the name of Jesus, you're going to hear clear from God from this day onward, and no devil in hell is going to be able to obstruct you from this day onward. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Yes, yes. Freedom and breakthrough. You guys need to take authority, as TJ just said. Tell that demon, leave me now in Jesus' name. Leave my life in Jesus' name. I've been given, the Bible says, all power over all the authority and power of the enemy. I've been given all authority over all the power of the enemy. And take authority right now. You can't just wait on us to do it for you. You need to open up your mouth and say, I command, say that, I command every demon to leave now in Jesus' name. You have no authority. You have no right. Go in Jesus' name. You will not hinder me any longer. You have been denied, access denied. You've been evicted in Jesus' name. Make that demon homeless tonight in Jesus' name. Shimba robobo satarama kotasa. Himba rababa shurombo samdi adamando bosata. Thank you, Lord. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord. Open up our eyes. Solomon said, give me a hearing heart. Solomon said, give me. You know, the Lord asked Solomon, you can have anything you ask, anything you want, I'll give you. And this is what Solomon said, give me a hearing heart. The Hebrew word is, give me a heart that can hear you. Guys, right now the Lord is releasing a hearing heart. And I love that you brought that up, TJ. People say, oh, the heart is wicked. Well, yeah, it was, but now I've been given a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. God can give you a hearing heart. If you could ask God for anything, and Solomon says, here's what I want, a heart that can hear you. God, I want a hearing heart. I want a heart that could hear God. I want a heart that can know God. I want desires of God right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Impartation and blessing over every single person watching. God, bless them, guard them, guide them in all of their ways. We bless them tonight with ears that can hear. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Whoo, Holy Ghost showed up tonight. Bro, thank you so much for being on. What a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. We literally can go hours together because the flow is there. The river's there. I really believe the river has been released tonight. Guys, we believe that the Lord did this work. The Lord, not us. The Lord did the work. We just said yes to him. We made ourselves available. And I'm excited to hear the testimonies this next week of all of you that have heard God. God has spoke to you. You're being led by the Spirit. Here's what I know about the voice of God. When you hear God and follow God, you get results. When God says pray for somebody, how many of you know God shows up when he says to pray for somebody? So I'm excited for that. TJ, I know you have hundreds of hours of teaching on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram. Where's the best way people watching this and listening on Spotify can get connected to your ministry and follow what you're doing?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on and constantly having me on. I've always been confused by that, but...
Yeah, right, bro. I need to have you on more.
I'm very privileged and honored to be your friend. I love you very much. You're a very sincere man and a man of integrity, and I'm glad to call you friend. That's for sure. To connect with our ministry on YouTube, we have a channel, TJ Malkanji, so it's my name. I think Emily Maxwell, who's awesome, who watches us all the time, she's been putting our channel up on the YouTube.
Yeah, you guys can put it in my chat, and it's also in the description link below. And for those of you asking how to spell his name, I don't want to be rude here, but his name's literally on screen. Guys, I don't know what else you want me to do. His name's in bright blue on the screen. So just look right on the screen. It's been there for 2 hours. And then also in the description, he's going to be linked, and the mods are putting your channel as well in the chat.
Yeah, so you can YouTube, on Instagram. We have a pretty active page on Instagram. You can follow us there. It's TJ Malkanji, M-A-L, for those that are visually impaired. M-A-L-C-A-N-G-I. Malkanji, that's on Instagram. And then if you we have an events page on our website. So if I'm coming to a city near you, salvationnow.ca is our website. And you can check out our events page. And I have a packed schedule this year. So I'll be in the U.S., I'll be in Canada, and no international thus far. But you can. I'd love to see you in a meeting if I'm coming to a city near you, or you can take a plane. Praise God for planes.
Guys, Yeah, yes. Praise God for that plane that smuggled you into the U.S. That's amazing. Yeah. TJ got smuggled in. Usually they're like, you can't have any food coming in, but they literally smuggled a whole human. So I love that. I love that. Guys, make sure that you show up to his events, Salvation Now. Make sure you check out his YouTube channel. Go to his page. Go to his website. Get plugged in. Get connected. We're going to have him on again. We wait too long. I think a few times we did try to get together. You had events going. We just could not make it work for a few weeks. But we're going to make it work more. I really appreciate you being on. It's just fire. I would love to do some more prayer streams together. I'm like really trying to focus. Well, you know that, but this year I'm trying to really focus on prayer. So I'm very excited about all the prayer streams we have going. So I'd love to get you on a prayer stream and just let's tag team it. Words of Knowledge, Prophecy, Healing, Deliverance, and all that good stuff. So, hey man, thanks so much for being on. Guys, go follow his page and I'll stay on a little bit and take up a little offering here.
By the way, does anyone else have two like black spots in their eyes everywhere they look? Or is that just
from
me?
Did you stare at the solar eclipse? I did for a second. They said not to. I didn't realize it was eclipsing and I stared at it and man, it gave me the worst headache ever. I had a headache for like 2 hours from staring. We're going to have TJ show up on the broadcast with bandages over his eyes because he was not listening and he was staring at the eclipse.
Eclipse was awesome, but keep me in prayer, guys.
Yeah, can't see now. Awesome.
I love you,
thanks
man.
For being on, bro. Love you, man.
Yeah, we'll
all right,
see.
God
talk
bless.
To you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, guys, I want to give you a chance to sow into the broadcast, sow into what God is doing. What a great stream. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. The Holy Spirit moved. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be able to do this. So please do us a huge favor. Sow into what God is doing. The links to give are on screen. Here's the thing. If you go and you eat somewhere, you don't dine and dash. So I think you got a good meal. You got a good teaching. We've been live for an hour and a half. If you're crying like, I don't know why you guys are asking for money. We do this for free, y'all. We do this for free. How many of you know when you go to pay rent, they don't care that you can speak in tongues. They don't care that you did a great 2-hour stream. So we have to survive as missionaries, as preachers, especially when we're giving out all of our content for free. So just support what we're doing. Again, if you're like crying about it and you're mad that we're asking you to give, then don't give. Don't give. But if you're blessed by it and you can, now don't give me the last $5 in your bank account, but if you can afford it, go ahead and give. And tonight I will read the PayPal, Venmo, and the Cash App. I know I haven't been doing that, but I'm going to do that tonight. So if you give on any of those, I'm going to acknowledge your name and thank you. Really appreciate you guys for being here, for modding. I'm going to hang out for a tiny bit here. It is so hot in my office, guys. I'm sweating like a junior bacon cheeseburger. I look like a glazed donut right now. If you guys are wondering why I'm so glazed, it's because I'm actually sweating. It's 85 degrees in my office. The sun has been out. 75 degrees out right now at 7:30. So yes, I'm extremely hot right now. That's why I look like a glazed donut. Okay, thank you guys for partnering, for giving. Let me read some chat here. How do you give to TJ directly? Well, whatever comes in, I'm going to give him more than that. So I'm going to sow into him. Usually more than comes in the streams I give him or give my guests because not to be the bearer of bad news, but about 1% of the people that watch the lives actually give, if you didn't know statistically. So I'm going to give him more. But if you want to give to him directly, you can go to his website, Salvation Now, and it's on his YouTube channel. Just go to his channel, go to his website, and you can give to him on the website directly. But just so you know, I'll give to him whatever comes in and even more. But there's the PayPal, there's the Cash App, there's the Zelle. Give somewhere. Even if it's a dollar, even if it's 50 cents, even if it's $5. And then also, if you want a monthly partner, you can. Those monthly partners will get a link to Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. We have a weekly prayer call, which has been amazing. If you haven't been in that, you need to be in that. It's been powerful. And then you get 20% off the merch store, and you also get 70 sermons. These are OG sermons. You cannot find them on YouTube. You cannot find them online anywhere. My voice is cracking. This is like a 20-year-old, 22-year-old, 23-year-old Isaiah screaming and shouting. 70 messages, not 7, 70. If you monthly partner, you get access to those. So thank you guys. Okay? And yes, I have a book coming out in November. I'm going to announce it soon, and then you guys can all blast the pre-orders. I haven't announced it fully yet, but I will soon. Okay? Announcement video coming soon. Will this be live for playback? Yes. It'll be live on YouTube and Facebook for playback. The OG sermons are fire. I don't even know. I got to go back and listen to them. They're so cringe to me, but praise the Lord, he spoke through me. But yeah, I can't. Can you post a PayPal link, please? It's posted in the comments, pinned, and it's in the description, and it's on screen. So it's on screen, paypal.me/Isaiah Saldivar. It's pinned in the comments. Just click the comment. It'll get bigger, and you'll see PayPal and Cash App. And you could also look in the description of this video and find it there as well. So it should be all three of those. But if you're on, if you're on my personal Facebook, it's not pinned. I'm sorry. You're going to have to get it from the screen. Personal Facebook, which is only a couple of you. How many of you are on? Like 18 people on my personal Facebook. So yeah. If you guys don't know, I'm completely restricted on Facebook. If you're wondering why there's only 50 people on Facebook, it's because my account is restricted. I have 300 and something thousand followers, and yeah, there's 20 people on, or 50 people on. I don't know. It's frustrating. But I can't keep crying about it. I have no tears left to cry about Facebook being lame. Facebook being Facebook. Facebook's woke? Yes, of course. All right, let me start reading some of these donations. If there's any, hopefully. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens here. Praise the Lord. God provides. God's going to provide no matter what. We just keep trusting him. Guys, I've been 13 years now on no salary, trusting in the Lord to provide, and he's never failed me yet. A couple years ago, there was a few times where I was negative in the account, but he hasn't failed me yet. God's blessed us, and it's been good. Okay? All right. Let's see what we have here on Venmo. We have a couple here. Lexi, thank you so much. Brenda Props, thank you so much. Jakaira, thank you. Sabrina, thank you. Brittany Jorgensen, thank you. Melody Wang, thank you. Christian Pexa, thank you. Seth Moreland, thank you. Atina, thank you so much. Atina Gaspar. And Nanyamka Anderson, thank you so much for the Venmo. I think that's everything on Venmo. Let's see. We'll refresh it one more time. And then we'll check out the Cash App. Here we go. Okay, let's look at the Cash App. That's all the Venmo. Thank you, guys. You could also give if you're watching on the replay. I'm live, baby. What's up? My daughter's at my door. Dad, and then I say I'm live, and she takes off running. All right, we have a couple on Cash App. A couple here. Keith Holder, thank you so much, brother. Ease, thank you, brother. Skolin, thank you. Slippery Moves, thank you. Alexander Smith, thank you, brother. Kamish, thank you. Boss Lady, thank you so much. Morgan, thank you. Monique, thank you. Judy Murdoch, thank you. Hannah, how do I say your name? Wetzelin, thank you. Janny, thank you. Tracy Jones, thank you so much. Appreciate all of you guys that are giving on Cash App. Let's see if there's any PayPal. Thank you. Oh, I'm losing connection here. The devil is a liar. Okay, let's see. I don't usually check it this way, so let me get... Give me a second to see this. Here we go. We got a couple here. A couple on PayPal. A couple PayPal warriors. Is this all today? Okay. Kiana, thank you so much. Thank you, Kiana. Donna Mintz, thank you so much for that generous donation. Morgan Smith, thank you so much. Benjamin Ramirez, thank you, brother. Julio, thank you so much. Sally Taylor, thank you. Leanne Passmore, thank you so much. Jaspar, and I see all your messages. I'll read them. I just don't want to read them out loud because some of them are private. Jaspar, thank you. Tina, thank you. Candido, thank you. Elisa, thank you. Kate Francis, thank you. Erica, thank you. Miranda Gonzalez, thank you. Let's see. Corrales, thank you so much. Diane, thank you. It says Diane just gave, but I don't know why it's not coming up on my thing. Well, thank you, Diane. For some reason, it's not loading, but it did. There it is. Diane Stevens, thank you so much, sister. Appreciate you. Thank you. Everybody sowing, giving, partnering, becoming monthly members, thank you so much. Again, if you become a monthly member, I'll email you tonight all the links that you need. All right, I'm losing connection here. I'll probably jump off because we're almost 2 hours and I'm losing.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.